people still push toxic pesticides and synthetic fertilizers, things they learned 30 years ago. Well, Howard Garrett will talk about things he learned 30 years ago, but also things he learned last year and yesterday. So here he is, your host, the natural organic scientist, the Dirt Doctor.
Good morning and welcome, everybody. Gorgeous sunset driving over here to the radio station this morning. If I sound like a different person, that's because Bob Webster and all of his friends in San Antonio and the Hill Country sent the cedar up here. It's one of the few times where I get a little allergy. It warmed up a couple of days ago, and it really moved up here. I've got something to pass on to all of you that he and his folks down there who've had a whole lot more trouble with it than we have up here in Dallas, they have a solution, a formula for avoiding having problems. They call it the cedar fever. I don't know if I've ever had that. My voice just gets a little scratchy, but some people really get pretty sick from it. And if you have had some issues with that, I'll give you their recipe. It sounds worth trying for sure. Won't help you this year, but it'll help you for next year if you mark on your calendar to do it in October. The first thing I need to do is tell you about the doggies. We had some good news from last week. The Bones, the cute little three-legged dog, was adopted. We may still have Harriet available at the McKinney SPCA. Harriet, 4-year-old black and tan. She's the one that's missing an ear. He was the one with three legs, got adopted. This week's dog is Max. And Max is a part pit bull, weighing 63 pounds. They say he's goofy and sweet and affectionate. Sounds like he's a real good find for somebody. And you can check him out, see his picture on our website on dirtdoctor.com. On the SPCA button there over on the right or down in the middle, down below. But he's at the Jan Reese Jones Animal Care Center in Dallas. Great facility. If you haven't been there, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, it's worth going by to see what they're doing anyway. They have a great kitten program. It's an adoption, but you can also, you know, just take them for a while, work with them on that program. And the facilities are really good and clean, and they do a great job down there. A lot of good choices for pets for you, so check it out. And wherever you are in the country, I know we're talking to people coast-to-coast and border-to-border, support your rescue organizations. It's just a great way to get purebred or a mutt. I think they probably specialize in mutts more than purebreds, but I think it's a great thing to do, so check it out. This SPCA pet adoption spot is brought to you by the SPCA of Texas and Espoma. Espoma has organic products, not only for your lawn and garden, but also the pet's paws will stay free of chemical fertilizers and pesticides. For more information, visit espoma.com. Your pet's paws is their program. They're really getting involved with the animals, and we appreciate that. Let's see, kind of things going on politically and all that. We're going to talk about gardening, though, and landscaping, and see if we can help you with some things. This is the time of the year when a whole bunch of stuff kicks into play, and it may surprise some of you if you're fairly new listeners that we are now officially in the window for the first major fertilization of the year. And no, we don't wait till April. There's some organic people that still recommend that. Wait until April and things are growing to do the first fertilization. And that's bad advice. We learned a long time ago, and the garden centers and the landscape companies got into it to a great degree and proved to a lot of people how well it works. But if you fertilize now through February with that first major fertilization of the year, organic fertilizer, of course. No, we don't recommend the salt, synthetic stuff. We certainly don't recommend the chemical pre-emergence, very toxic products, and the ingredients in those products, those weed and feed fertilizers. are not designed to go out at the same time. The fertilizer and the herbicide in those products should be put out at separate times. Well, how do you do that if they're mixed together in the same bag? So it's bad all the way across the board. The ones that we dislike the most are the weed and feed, the synthetic weed and feed fertilizers. Second on the list, things that we recommend you stay away from, are the high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers. The worst of that bunch is one that you'll hear recommended a lot here in Texas and some of the other states around the country as well, and that's the nitrogen-only products. There's nothing you can do worse. We were talking on Bob's show about, and I've been answering several questions that are going to show up in my Dallas Morning News column about the dangers of using single-element products. You know, sulfur is probably the one that we would talk about the most and use the most, and I'm leery. I'm a little wary of recommending it because if people use too much sulfur, dusting sulfur, wettable sulfur, you're dealing with a one-element product there. And if you go overboard, use a little bit more than you should, you go from it being something that's very beneficial and helps with nutrient availability in general for the plants and a lot of good things if you put it out in very light ways, if you need it, if your soil shows that it needs the sulfur. But if you go a little bit too far, it goes from being something that helps stimulate biological activity. For example, you can put a sulfur in compost pile in light applications, and it will help the biological activity in the compost pile. But if you go a little bit too heavy with it, it starts to hurt the microbes. And then if you use way too much, it will sterilize the soil. And the soil being sterilized by sulfur doesn't come back for quite a while. There was a train crash or car spill, a train car spill in my hometown of Pittsburgh when I was a kid. Pittsburgh, Texas, right on the golf course, and it spilled a bunch of sulfur. And that area stayed bare and completely sterile for years and years and years. You can still see it today. So the point is, anytime you're talking about a single element, using it as a fertilizer or an amendment, you got to be really, really careful with it. In most cases, we don't recommend it. Sulfur would be the one rare case. People ask me about zinc all the time. I don't recommend zinc products to put out for pecans and various things because in most cases, you can get plenty of zinc. It's a heavy metal that really needs to be used at extremely low levels, and you get plenty of it and copper and some of the other things that people will tend to put out that way in the organic products, in compost, in organic fertilizer blends, in seaweed for sure, and in various other seaweed and fish products. You get those trace minerals in there at small levels and buffered, and that's one reason why these organic products work so well and people have such great luck with them, because there's natural buffering power in the product. So if you've got fruit trees, especially nut trees, and people recommend that you put out a lot of zinc, that came from the scrap metal industry. It was pretty smart marketing. It was kind of the same scenario as the fluoride in toothpaste and in water. It came from the industry that was dealing with products that in the process of using them and turning them into steel and other kinds of things, there was a toxic material kicked off. And in one case it was zinc, in one case it was fluoride. And there was this brilliant marketing move made to use this stuff like is pushed on us, you know, in human products and in zinc and treating pecans and walnuts and things like that. So don't go for it. You don't need to, and it's dangerous, and you can cause a lot of problems. It came up on talking with Bob on his show because one of his listeners called and said that she had heard that you could drive copper nails in a tree and kill it. a tree that you don't want, you know, something like a honey locust or, you know, whatever it is, honey locust with the great big thorns. And so he asked me what I thought about it, and I said, well, I've never heard of it being used to kill a tree, and I don't think it would. I have heard of people using copper nails, driving them into the tree with the intent of providing copper to the tree, and it would probably a little bit. Enough to do any good, I don't have any idea, but it's not anything that I would recommend, and I certainly don't recommend buying copper products, especially copper sulfate to put on the soil and put around plants, because it's a terrible product. We'll talk more about this when I come back. Howard Garrett, right after this break. Lava sand is a critical part of my organic recommendations for bed preparation and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. I have found a high-quality lava product with significant paramagnetism. It's American Rio and their Maverick Lava Sand Soil Amendment. It'll dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. You can buy it in bags or bulk. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752 or go to AmericanRio.com.
Do your probiotics have baggage? They should. You see, if your probiotics do not include prebiotics as well as postbiotics, then you're missing out on a lot of healthy benefits. Most probiotic products do not contain prebiotics, their food, or postbiotics, the organic matter that promotes the long-term colonization of the good versus bad bacteria in your body. But Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics does. Select live probiotic bacteria are blended with fruits, vegetables, seaweed, and herbs, and allowed to grow over 3 years to assure superior digestive and immune support. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics then combines this rich culture medium, prebiotics, and the resulting nutrients from this fermentation process, postbiotics, providing you with a superior probiotic supplement. No other probiotic can offer your body this support. So switch to the best premium probiotic on your retailer shelf today. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, available at fine health food stores. Don't accept a substitute.
Ladybug Natural manufactures extremely high-quality compost, granular and liquid organic fertilizers, mulches, soil amendments, and the nutrient-rich Magic Sand. All Ladybug products start with the finest all-natural raw materials and have dependable consistency. Ask for Ladybug at garden centers, farm stores, hardware stores, Whole Foods, and other quality retailers. To find a store and for more information, visit ladybugbrand.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically, because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea, or using rose petals in teas or salads, is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com. Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer, or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. The telephone number, and people are already starting to call in, and that's fine, is 866-444-3478. The next topic that I was going to talk about was pruning, but let me give you that formula that I teased everybody with on eliminating or helping a whole lot these cedar allergy problems. And the conversation down in the hill country from people that have it a lot worse than we do here, they call it cedar fever down there. And how bad it gets, I'm really not sure. But anyway, some people really have a hard time with it and even get so sick they miss work and everything else. The male trees, when they're doing that explosion, you can literally see the orange powder explode from the tree, especially if a bird flies in or something like that. But on the other hand, it can be perfectly still day, and you can see that explosion and that orange pollen drifting in the air. It's one of the reasons why, if you ever buy a red cedar, which is a juniper, that you need to try to buy the males instead of the females. I mean, buy the females instead of the males. You want the females that have the blue-purple berries and don't have the pollen. They also are just really prettier trees. I have both. I have both because I had both when we bought the house. And we've taken some of the males out. The problem in making sure that you're buying a female is that a lot of times those characteristics don't show up until they get some age on them. So when they're young trees at the garden center, it's pretty tough to be able to tell. But anyway, here's the formula to make a tea that's supposed to help you with this allergy from these cedar trees. 1 cup of cedar and its foliage. I've heard a lot of others, and maybe there's some people listening out there that have some other formulas. I've heard people recommend eating the berries, eating the fruit off the female plants, and that helps. And I've eaten them, and I think they actually taste pretty good. You have to get, they're strong. You have to do it a little at a time and get used to it. But anyway, this formula has to do with the foliage, not the fruit. It's 1 cup of cedar foliage, and the fellow that was calling about it and said that he had used this technique for years and he used to have severe problems. He said it works with male or female trees of the native red cedar. Eastern red cedar, or Eastern red cedar, or the ash juniper, either one, the multi trunk one that's more plentiful here in Texas, even I guess, than the Eastern red cedar. But anyway, 1 cup of the cedar, and then 4 cups of water. Bring that to a boil. And then let it cool down, and use then 30 drops of this tea that you've brewed out of cedar foliage in water. Use 30 drops of the new tea you've made in 8 ounces of water to drink. Now, the really interesting part of it is that Bob was talking about the fact that in the past, other of his listeners had told him that you did this starting October the 15th, and you did it over a period of time. This fellow that called in while we were doing the show this Saturday said one time is enough. So I guess the question comes up, why do you need so much of it if you're only going to use 30 drops of it one time? But that's the recommendation. If anybody else has any experience with that, let us know. All ears on that deal. The pruning, just real quickly, and then we'll go to the phone, and I'll kind of work in. There's a lot of pruning conversation that we need to do today. The first one is, I've seen people starting already to prune too much, take too much out. A lot of times it's not the homeowner. It's the tree care company, or the whatever term you'd like to give some of these characters, just pruning away too much. I think there's this thought process that it'll look like the homeowner's got a better value if a whole lot of stuff is taken out of the tree. And in most cases, that's a bad thing to do. In most cases, over pruning is very detrimental in a whole bunch of different ways. The pruning that's overdone also tends to be pruned, each cut done incorrectly. In other words, made flush. And when flush cuts are made, you've heard me talk about it a lot, but we need to continue to, because there's a lot of people that haven't heard it, new listeners coming in, and people that it hadn't sunk in well with yet. There are people with some audience that continue to tell people to make flush cuts on trees. Well, not only is it a bad thing to do, it's a real bad thing to do. When you make a flush cut on a tree, in other words, flush up against the trunk or flush up against a larger limb that the limb you're cutting away from is growing from, you cut into the trunk. You cut in, you're not cutting the end of the limb, you're cutting into the trunk. The limb starts out beyond what's called the branch collar. And the branch collar is that wrinkled expansion that you see that is the connection between the trunk and the limb. It's actually part of the trunk, and you want to preserve that. If you cut into it, or if you cut it all off, you're going to create an oval cut, and you're going to get rot started in the tree without any question. It's the main cause of cavities being formed in trees, and you can get diseases started as well. More on that when I come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back with you right after this.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
If you were there for the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, this message is for you. You can fight the effects of aging by eating right, exercising, and getting some garlic every day. The healing and health-giving properties of garlic are as wonderful as Venus aligning with Mars. And the easiest way to get all of garlic's benefits is with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Natural aging makes organically grown kyolic a true antioxidant. Hospital and university studies show that kyolic aged garlic extract helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels and normal blood pressure while improving circulation. Kyolic even helps build your immune system so you can keep on keeping on. For more information or to find a store near you, visit kyolic.com. That's K-Y-O-L-I-C.com. Kyolic aged garlic extract for people who take their garlic and their health seriously. Kyolic aged garlic extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Let me catch up on some calls here, and then we'll get back to some more pruning conversation there. First up this morning in Richardson, Texas, is Pam. Hello, Pam. Pam, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. How are you, Howard?
Very well.
Okay, I want to try to espalier a pyracantha on a plain brick wall of my house that faces west.
Okay.
And I couldn't find anything about espalier on your website, but, of course, there's a lot out there. And a lot of the websites are saying start with very young plants and cut them down to 1 foot and then start to train them. But other websites are saying you can start with an older one if it has the right branching. I just want to do the simple espalier.
Either one of those is true. Either one of those is a way to go. If you buy a plant that you can actually buy a pyracantha from nurseries that's already espaliered into a flat design.
Right.
So
I've seen that, but they're expensive, and I'd rather try it myself.
Right. Okay. There's actually three ways to go. And then the second way is if you get a bush and you just cut it back to that one stem so you can control every bud. The way you prune to control the growth pattern on a plant is to prune back to a bud or another little limb or twig that's growing the direction you want it to grow. So whether it's a little limb or a twig or just a bud, it will continue to grow exactly the direction it's pointing. when you cut back to just above it. So when you take the when you cut it back to just the one stem, you want to look at the buds that are left or the little twigs, and the ones that are growing out sideways are where you want to cut back to, so that the new growth that starts in the spring is going to be going flat with the brick surface of the house. See what I mean?
Okay.
And then as something starts to grow out, you clip it away. So you put you're putting the energy into the next new growth that's going to be growing flat to the building. And if you do that, and if you're real consistent with it, especially when it first starts growing, that first growing season and everything, it won't take long till it fans out and gets pretty big, because all of the energy is going into those that are growing flat against the building. Just keep cutting the ones off that are trying to grow straight out at you.
Okay, so it really doesn't matter if we start with a small young plant or if we start with a more mature plant, if it has the right branching.
That's right, and even if you start with a big one, you look at it and spend a little time and cut off the ones that are growing the wrong direction and just leave the ones that are growing sideways. That's a fine way to go. You might not be able to get as perfectly flat a plant as you would if you started from just one little sprig growing straight up, but it's probably what I would do, because it's going to save you a lot of time. You're going to end up having an espaliered look to some degree the very first year.
Yes, that's exactly what my husband said.
Yeah. Pyracantha is a good plant for that, by the way. The only thing about pyracantha, well, twofold. One is it's very well armed. So, you know, you're going to cut yourself up dealing with it if you're not careful. Be sure and wear really good gloves and, you know, be careful about the thorns. And then the other thing is it is susceptible to some disease issues. And so it's extremely important on pyracantha for you to do the whole organic bed preparation specs that I recommend. And putting the cornmeal and the dry molasses is probably as important as anything you do. So you want the compost, rock minerals, and the cornmeal and dry molasses for sure worked in at planting time. And then spray the foliage on a regular basis, at least monthly, I'd say the first year for sure, with the Garrett juice mixture.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. I've been organic for almost 10 years and love it. Everything, love everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I plant the pyracantha about 6 to 8 inches from the foundation, and we're going to do the wire with the eye bolts, so it'll be a little bit off the brick.
Yeah, it's probably the best thing to do. A pyracantha is strong enough to hold itself up, but if you had real heavy, you know, freezing rain or crazy wind, and if it's not connected, it could you know, pull off and fall down. So that's a good thing to do.
Okay. One last question: is Mojave a good choice?
Mahonia?
No, it's Mohave. Mojave, I guess.
Mohade.
I'm
drawing a blank on what that is.
Okay. Would you recommend just any kind of pyracantha?
Yeah, that's a pyracantha variety?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
okay. I'm not familiar with it. When I haven't used pyracantha in a long time because the thorns and some of the issues with the disease and everything. That may be a new one. It's Mohade.
A, Z as in Victor?
I'll look it up and see, and I'll keep listening. I'll put it on the air, okay?
Perfect. Okay, thank you so much, Howard.
All right, appreciate the call. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Lancaster, Texas, and talk to CJ. Hey, CJ.
Hello, Howard. This is CJ. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well, thanks.
Got a quick question here. dry molasses and corn gluten meal, can I put those down at, you know, like put the corn gluten meal down one application and then the dry molasses down the second or for another application at the same day?
You can mix them together in the same bag and put them out if you want to.
Okay, because I cannot never catch this window for these weeds during the summer because I used to be a truck driver and I'm always on the road, so I'm always missing it. But now I'm not driving anymore, so I'm pulling out all the stops this year for because these weeds are killing me.
Well, you're a little bit early for the corn gluten meal, CJ.
Okay.
You know, for the best guess, we're always guessing about what the timing's going to be, and it has to do with warm weather. When we have these spells like we're having right now of warm weather coming up, not only does it, you know, move the cedar in on us, but it also creates a situation where some of those weeds can start germinating. But so you know, in an ideal, I guess, to give yourself the best chance, there's some landscape contractors that are friends of ours that actually use this technique. They'll put out corn gluten meal starting earlier than normal, like now, and then they'll do it again in 2 weeks, and then they'll do it again in another 2 weeks. That works beautifully as far as controlling the weeds, but you're putting out an awful lot of nitrogen, even though you're using an organic fertilizer. Yeah. Corn gluten meal's got, you know, it's a pretty high nitrogen organic fertilizer. It'll have anywhere from 9 to 10% nitrogen in it. So if you do it in two or three steps like that, just remember that's probably more than enough fertilizer for the whole rest of the year.
Oh, I did not know that then. Well, I've been spraying with the Garrett juice every month, and it's how I've been doing it. But I just didn't know about the if I could put out the corn gluten meal and, you know, right now, because I just want to get ahead of these summer weeds because they're just out of control. My neighbors really don't take care of the yard. So that Dallas grass blows into my yard, and it's just crazy.
Well, the corn gluten meal will help you with the Dallas grass coming about from the seed, but it won't help you with the perennial plants that are already there. With them, you're going to have to chop them out. At this time of the year, you have to chop them out and remove them and throw compost in the hole when they start.
What about 20% vinegar then? Can I spray them with that, or is it?
Well, once they're growing, that'll do it. But when they're dormant, like they are now, I don't think the vinegar would have a whole lot of effect for you. So you're going to have to wait till they're growing to do that. The other thing that you could do right now, though, for the other weeds, not Dallas grass, but the other weeds, the cool season ones like henbit and rescue grass and and all the cool season things, you could go ahead and spray the whole yard with the vinegar and kill the weeds that are still pretty small. The ideal time for that's usually sometime between Christmas and New Year's, but you could still get some benefit from it now if you sprayed really thoroughly, and it wouldn't hurt your summer grasses at all because they haven't started growing yet.
Right. So it's okay to do both of them at the same time?
Absolutely. No question about it. Now, remember, though, if you're going to do it now, you're going to probably need to do it again because this is early. Okay. Our normal time for corn gluten meal is February the 15th, you know, not the middle of January.
Which is fine with me. I mean, I don't mind. I just, like I said, this year I'm pulling out all the stops. I just want to make sure if I got to spray it, I mean, put it down now and then a couple of weeks later or 3 weeks later, then, I mean, I'm good with that. These weeds are just killing me during the summertime. I just want to get a good head start on them, you know.
Well, get out there and get to work.
I will do. Howard, I do appreciate you.
Okay, CJ. See you.
Bye-bye.
All right, and by the way, for those of you in Chicago and up north where the ground's still frozen, these things that we talk about are still the same. It's just that we have to move the timing a little bit. You know, you can't put out the organic fertilizer, or you shouldn't put out the organic fertilizer when the ground is still frozen. So you just adjust everything a little bit on down the road. And you got to play it by ear. I can't tell you exactly what it'll be. For a lot of you, it'll be 2 weeks later than we do things here in Dallas and others. It will be even more than that. You'll just have to play with it. But the same things that we recommend to CJ and people here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you do coast-to-coast and border-to-border. The only thing we're changing is the timing when we do the things. And then the other a thing that will change, of course, is the variety of plants. You're going to plant different plants in Florida than you are in Chicago, you know, that sort of thing. But the program itself, how we fertilize, how we treat insects and diseases, how we use beneficial nematodes and trichogramma wasps, and when things start growing in the spring. And it's the same for everybody across the country. Got an open line now for you all of a sudden at 866-444-3478. Next point I want to talk about on pruning is crepe myrtles. Crepe myrtle pruning is an interesting topic, and it's not quite as simple as some people attempt to make it, and probably I've been guilty of doing the same thing. So when I come back, we'll talk about it just a little bit more, and whatever you want to talk about in the world of landscaping, gardening, pest control, compost making, whatever, just let us know. 866-444-3478. The website's dirtdoctor.com. The free newsletter, you can sign up for it right on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. When various pains slow you down, you should reach for real-time pain relief. It's non-greasy, relieves pain in minutes, smells great, and contains no harmful chemicals, GMOs, parabens, or SLS. Ask for it at your favorite store. You can also order it today and receive a free $10 tube with your purchase of $10 or more by texting DIRT to 90407, calling 877-787-7180, or going to rtpr.com and using the promo code DIRT.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that's a big deal because glutathione is our body's master antioxidant, repairing cell damage caused by environmental toxins and aging. RegActive's probiotic strain ME3 is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in the body. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, known for introducing Dr. O'Hara's fantastic probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Dirt Doctor advice, look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Exo Odor Neutralizer is the original all-natural odor-eliminating air freshener. It is non-toxic, pH neutral, and no fragrances. If you want to get rid of big odors but do it naturally and keep it safe for children and pets, then you've got to try Exo Odor Neutralizer, available in stores everywhere. Just ask for Exo Odor Neutralizer. For more information, go to exocorp.com or call 800-442-9696. Ask for and start enjoying Exo Odor Neutralizer today.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health.
Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. And one of the things that I forgot to mention early in the show is that the contest picture is up. It's kind of funny. I forgot what it was. I just drew a blank. And I just finally remembered, and it's one that I needed to do a new entry for the website, dirtdoctor.com, as well. A little tip for you is that it's a tree that will not grow in the Dallas-Fort Worth area very well. So those of you in the rest of the country may have a little advantage. What happens if you guess the contest picture is that you win one of our natural organic certification course is the online school that we have, and all you do is give us a call on the show, guess it, or you can send it to us by email to info@dirtdoctor.com. We had full lines, and somebody just dropped off, it looked like, maybe a problem, but the number is 866-444-3478. Real quickly on crepe myrtles before we go back to the phones, is that a lot of people, and I've been in this camp, have recommended very strongly not to top crepe myrtles, not to cut them back on the top and leave them into their full, let them have their full natural shape, because in most cases, a crepe myrtle that hasn't been pruned has a beautiful shape. Crepe myrtle basically is a big shrub. It's not a tree. It's a shrub that we trim into a tree shape. And I love the ones that are trimmed into beautiful tree shapes and have the big trunks. I like to leave all of the top on crepe myrtles myself because I like to leave the seed pods, because some small birds, wrens and finches and various, you know, little small birds like the seed in those seed pods. So there's a benefit to doing that. On the other hand, some people like to trim them up to tidy them up. I've been watching a lot of that going on around the Dallas-Fort Worth area right now. And it doesn't, if you do it lightly across the top, it doesn't really hurt that natural, wonderful natural shape at all. But if you dehorn them, cut them way, way back, that does foul up the look of the plants, and you end up getting these real knobby connections between you know, where you've cut it back to and the new growth that comes out. It is a total misconception that cutting back crepe myrtles real severely like that helps them bloom more, have larger blooms and all that. I don't believe that at all. On the other hand, if you need to cut them back, if you've planted one in the wrong place somewhere, short of moving it to a better place, you know, cut them back if you have to. Some people cut the crepe myrtles all the way to the ground, and then they'll come back from the ground and actually do pretty well that way. If you have some of the dwarf or semi-dwarf crepe myrtles, they're normally handled by pruning them pretty severely to keep them at the height that you want them to be. So it's a little subjective, but in general, I still recommend not pruning them. I don't prune my own crepe myrtles severely. I don't have a lot of crepe myrtles because I don't have much sun. But the few that I do, we let them grow out full. We did a newsletter a couple of years ago, and I said something pretty rough about, you know, it's not very smart to prune crepe myrtles back. And I got some heat about it, and so it made me think about it a little more. In some cases, it just fits the program of how you're set up to use the crepe myrtle as to how you prune it. So it's totally subjective, but you definitely, without any question, leave a much more beautiful plant. The prettiest crepe myrtles are those that have never been pruned, other than the root sprouts at the bottom, which you can pretty much eliminate if you expose the flare properly, and have the big, beautiful trunk and the you know, the exfoliating bark showing and all that stuff. That's really the best way to go. Okay, we'll do a little more pruning stuff as we go here. Next up would be Esther in Frisco, Texas. Hello, Esther.
Hi. I am not calling about a plant, although I love plants and I'm organic, but good. I am calling about the screen to block out blue light. Have you found the best one?
You know, that's
computer?
Something that we've got a listener that has sent us a lot of good, great information, and Yoga Mike, who helps me with several things, has gotten into it. He's got some glaucoma himself and some issues, and we've been looking into it, and we're going to do a newsletter about it. Judy and I at home have started using, in fact, we both bought each other some of these blue blocker glasses for Christmas.
Okay. Where do you get those? Just online?
You can get them online. They're very inexpensive, and some of the places, some of the stores around town will have them too. And you can get clip-ons, you can get regular glasses, or you can get these wraparounds that fit over the top of your own glasses, which is what we're using. Judy has started using them to watch television and other things as well, and she thinks it's helping her go to sleep better at night. So it's definitely a subject that we're looking into. We don't have the newsletter and all the details done that I wanted to do for everybody, but we've started looking at it.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'll check into those glasses.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Appreciate the call. Bye-bye. And you can tell by the music, that's the end of our number one. We've got two more for you. We'll start with a visitor and a new special feature. We've got Andrea Rideout will be with us at the beginning of the next hour, and then we'll go back to the phones. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. The contest picture is up on DirtDoctor.com. You can guess it and try to win one of the courses. You can sign up for the course for you and your employees. There are discounts for nonprofits and schools and various things, so you can look into that there. And you can also sign up for the free newsletter right there on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. I'll be back.